Near FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Near FM 90.3. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and welcome along to the Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I'll take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. So I'll be looking beyond the stories you usually hear about, and instead I'll feature stories about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. I'll feature stories too about groups that represent and advocate for minorities in our community and further afield. And of course, we'll have those local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like to get in touch or you'd like me to feature something on the programme, well, you can contact me while the show is on the air. The text line is open and the number is 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email weekinreview@near.ie and you'll always get me on Twitter at nearfm, at Declan Ralph. Hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken this week. DCU launches a new e-scooter scheme to help staff and students get around the campus. There's a new way to find out how loud was that last plane that just flew over. St. Patrick's Cathedral Choir School, well, they're looking for new pupils. Signs as well have been erected on North Dublin beaches urging the public not to walk on the dunes. And finally, the local stories with Ken will look at, are we eating our 5 portions of fruit and veg every day? Hopefully we are. Now, a cross-border brunch will be sure to tempt literary taste buds when it takes place online from Dublin next Saturday. That's the 24th of April. The Beckett Brunch brings people in Ireland and France together to share a love of croissants, coffee and talking about the works of Samuel Beckett. This year's event will take the theme of cross-border Beckett and look at the works of Irish writer Beckett in relation to research, education, performance and much, much more. But what can we learn from the works of esteemed writers in Ireland's cultural history for the world today? Well, Dr. Dunla Bird, who is the senior lecturer at the University Sorbonne in Paris Nord, will be here with Sarah in about 10 minutes' time to have a chat about that Beckett brunch and all of those things we just mentioned there. Just after one then, Sarah will be back to take a look at the local virtual events taking place over the next few days. And then after that, how do we make music together when we can't even come together to make music? And especially, how do we make new music in the middle of a pandemic? Well, we have the answer. The New Music Dublin Festival, Ireland's foremost contemporary music festival, will be chatting to Ken. Their festival director, John Harris, will chat to Ken at around about 1:15. And if that wasn't enough, we'd squeeze in before the end of the programme to the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. And I take these from the activelink.ie website, and there are literally hundreds of opportunities there. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. Afternoon, Ken. How are you?
I'm not too bad, and yourself?
Very good, yeah, very good. So the first story you have for us today is headlined, DCU launches a new e-scooter scheme to help staff and students get around the campus, no less.
So they're going to do a 6-month trial project, and this will be used to assess the value of alternative travel options for local authorities. And say the scooter has been rolled out to help improve safety for both pedestrians and users. And this pilot research project will consist of 30 scooters that can actually sense pedestrians and will only be available for use on DC campus grounds, as at the moment, the government has yet to legalise e-scooters on our roads. And if e-scooters are legalised, it envisages that the users will be able to commute between various campuses and beyond. And that's, you know, why I was particularly interested in this story, is that, you know, we have a child here who does go to DCU. Now, we're not too bad. It's a 25-minute walk from here to DCU. It's also a 25-minute walk to the campus in Drumcondra, and it's sort of another 25-minute walk to the campus in All Hallows on Grace Park Road. Now, that's a bit of a problem, because he actually has classes on all three on one day, so he has to get between them. It's not too bad. He can walk to them. He has a bike. If he lives somewhere else and you don't have a bike and you can't get around, getting between these campuses is a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So if you can have an e-scooter and you can actually hop on it and go between it. And then the other advantage of these things is, you know, I have a car. It sits outside the door at the moment for at least, 23 and a half hours a day. It doesn't get used. But if someone has the e-scooters, like the e-bike, someone can use them all the time. It's going to be environmentally a good idea as well. So this is going to be an interesting one. I say Ireland is the last European country to permit the use of e-scooters in the public. And the government has approved draft legislation that will regulate the use of these. And this may pass a few months. So this will be an interesting one, especially if you're a student at DCU, and it will be really quite helpful in getting around, especially when you have to go between the three campuses.
Yeah,
a great buy, if they're calling
camp buy. it's a fantastic idea, yeah, and hopefully they will make them legal, the usage here in Ireland, very, very soon. So a very practical solution for the situation you outlined there. Very practical. Now, I remember when I was growing up in Artane, the aeroplanes used to fly in over Artane and Coolock and land in Dublin Airport. They, since then, it shows you how long ago it is, since then they built a new runway, not the one they're building at the moment, and they sort of come in over the sea and they avoid us. But noisy planes, are they still a problem?
Not really. That's just a personal opinion. And that's obviously what attracted me to this story, because I live here in Bournemouth and I've lived here all my life. And, you know, I was used to, you know, planes flying overhead on a regular basis. And I remember, you know, standing out in the road and, you know, trying to hit them with footballs that were that low.
After a while, you don't hear them.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, the group in Portmarnock used to be called ROAR, which is a nice acronym when they were trying to give out about, you know, all the planes coming in. But this is a new sort of digital initiative. It's called WebTrack. And it's an internet-based service that will enable local communities to access flight paths and noise levels for arriving and departing aircraft at the airport. And the system was established in collaboration with the Irish Aviation Authority, which provides air traffic control service in Ireland, and EnviroSuite Environmental Management Services. So Dublin Airport Managing Director Vincent Harbison said, WebTrack is the latest initiative at Dublin Airport's ongoing commitment to its neighbours. We've been engaging with local communities for decades now, and we know this will be a welcome tool for all concerned with aircraft noise. WebTrack is available for anyone to access on our website and provides information on flight origins, destination, aircraft type, height, flight plan, noise levels, on the airport's noise monitoring terminal system. And there's also a new way that you can put in complaints about noise. Now, I think it's a nice idea, but, you know, it used to be, you know, 50 years ago when you had cars, you'd hear cars, you know, when the exhaust went off, you'd hear a bang or something like that. They put in using, they call it whisper aircraft, and you don't really hear the planes much these days. So I think it's a nice system. And you know what, you can check the data if you have a specific noise incident. You put in your air code, put in the time you think it happened at, and it'll record it for you. So it's a good idea. It's an interesting idea, but I think they've really got over the planes now, you know, that they make too much noise.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. But it's a nice piece of technology all the same. Now, something far more simple, no technology involved at all. Do you fancy yourself for this one?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Sort of selecting the stories, not saying we have an editorial policy, but, you know, one of the ones is that it isn't featured in, you know, national news. This one got a little bit of coverage during the week. And B, it doesn't relate to anything on the south side. This is also just a little bit on the south side, but the reason why I wanted to include this one, it's for the oldest school in the country, which is St. Patrick's Cathedral Choir School, which is next door to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And again, when I used to work in the Carmichael Centre, we used to do our big fundraising event was in St. Patrick's Cathedral. But I used to have the annual problem. I've had 80 members in the choir, 20 members in the orchestra, where to put them, where to feed them, where to store all their gear. So every year I had to ring up the principal of St. Patrick's Cathedral School and say, can I borrow the school, please? And they were always so nice about it.
Ah, well, then you had to include it today. Yeah.
So we had to include this one. That's basically it.
Yeah.
So the school caters to children from third class upwards with an interest in music. And the pupils attend school classes and music rehearsals after singing daily in the cathedral. And the school usually recruits from visiting other schools, but the pandemic obviously has meant they can longer do that. So according to the schoolmaster of music, Stuart Nicholson, the choirs, particularly the boys ones, needs constant recruitment as the children move through the school. So last September, there were just 3 recruits in the third class, despite being the aim of 10. The school was founded nearly 700 years ago in 1432. It's now a two-teacher school and it's co-educational under the patronage of the Church of Ireland, providing education to pupils from third to sixth class. St. Patrick is the national cathedral of the Church of Ireland, but applications to join the school from boys and girls are open to people from all denominations or none. So if you have a child there, you know, who's 10, 11, 12, knows how to sing, wants to go to a good school, send them off to St. Patrick's Cathedral School.
Only disadvantage is it's on the south side.
Just, only just.
A stone's throw. Coming right back to the north side, and one of my favourite things to do when I was younger as well was not simply to walk on the dunes, but to run up and down the dunes. Now there's signs being erected on North Dublin beaches urging the public not to walk on the dunes at all. Why is that, Ken?
They're asking the people to do this in an effort to protect vegetation and slow down erosion. So the local authorities say that 11 signs have been erected across the entrances at Claremont Beach and Borough Beach. And at the April Howth Malahide Area Committee meeting, Fingal County Council releasing a statement saying that it made the commitment to erect the signs, and indeed work has been carried out to do so recently. Fingal County Council say the consideration has been given to take further steps that could deter people from walking on the dunes. And indeed, some local representatives and environmental groups saying that the installation of these signs should only be the beginning of the environmental tackling measures. The mayor of Fingal Council has asked for more signs and ropes to be put around the sand dunes to ask people not to trample the vegetation. And he says, most people aren't aware that sand dune grasses are easily damaged by trampling, unlike the grass species we're used to seeing in gardens, parks and fields. Most people want to do the right thing to protect the environment, and it's important that we ensure that the information they need to do that. And he says further measures could be taken, and these would include helping the dunes to grow by providing fencing to trap windblown sand and other similar techniques, the planting of dune species, and the throwing of washed up seaweed onto the dunes to help them to recover. He says the majority of people are eager to do the right thing when they visit the beach, and significant numbers are now willing to volunteer to help to protect the dunes. So I can't see any reason why to do it, but I think it does need a little bit more than a sign to stop people from walking up and down the dunes on the beach.
Might be more of an incentive needed, yeah. Yeah, and you're more likely to be running up and down them as well, I think, especially kids. Yeah. Now, you have a very serious question to finish up with. Are we eating our 5 portions of fruit and veg a day, our 5 a day?
Indeed. Just before we get into this one, I think I'll declare Declan's professional interest in this story. And as a vegetarian, I'll declare my own interest in it. But new sales data for the first quarter of 2021 suggests that Irish consumers are embracing healthier eating habits by consuming record levels of fruit and veg. So statistics from BWG Food Group showed that vegetable sales are up 18% in the same period last year, with fruit up 6% in the same period. The best-selling vegetables include peppers were up 70%, and the potato was up 15%. However, the humble carrot experienced the biggest uplift in sales, recording a 26% increase. Bananas remained Ireland's most popular fruit, and strawberries were up 25%, with citrus being the biggest category gain, with Easy Peeler showing an approximately 65% growth during the period. And so the data from BWG Foods, which is the owners of Spar, Londis and Mace, among other brands, showed that consumers revisited their love for family baking as a result of the latest lockdown, with the sale of home baking products up 4%. And they're saying year on year from the first national lockdown, we continue to see the pandemic impact on the way that people with demands for different food products and changing depending on the environment and restrictions. Our latest data shows a positive picture of consumer trends. Irish shoppers have focused on healthier options throughout the first quarter of the year and creating a surge in demand for fresh fruit and vegetables and baking products. And so, you know, the increasing demand for baking products and bananas, does that mean we're going to see the return again of banana bread?
Who knows? I can tell you, as you said, with a bit of a professional interest in that, Irish strawberries are on the way. They're coming very, very shortly. We'll ask Sarah maybe a little bit later about the Wexford strawberries, but they usually come first, and then you will get some North County Dublin strawberries as well. So that's coming very shortly, very, very shortly, Ken. So everybody will have no excuse for not eating their 5 a day.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks, Ken. We'll leave the stories at that for today. Thanks a million.
Coming up after this short piece of music, Sarah will be here to talk to Dr. Dunla Bird about the Beckett Brunch.
Good afternoon, and you're very welcome back to The Week in Review with Declan Ross, Ken Kilbride, and of course myself, Sarah Birmingham. I think Declan was trying to will the sun to stay there. Hopefully it's sunny where you are today. Don't forget, if you have a story you'd like us to highlight on the show, you can get in touch with us here by text to 087-69-44-500 or by email to weekinterview@near.ie. Well, a cross-border brunch even is sure to tempt literary taste buds when it takes place online and from Dublin next Saturday, that's April 24th. Beckett Brunch brings people in Ireland and France together to share a love of all things croissants, coffee and Samuel Beckett, of course. This year's event will take the theme of cross-border Bacchus, and it'll look at the works of the Irish writer in relation to research, education, performance and more as well. What is it that we can learn from the works of esteemed writers, such as Bacchus, in throughout Ireland's cultural history for the world today and, you know, as the world kind of renews and builds up back again? Dr. Dún na Bird of the Beck of Brunt joins me on the line now to tell us a little bit more, and delighted to have you on, Dún. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It's lovely to be here. It was so interesting that you were saying what Beckett can teach us, because I think sometimes there's this idea from people perhaps that Beckett is a little bit inaccessible or maybe not for them. And the whole idea of the Beckett Brunch is really to bring people together, you know, not just academics working on Beckett and students and artists and actors,
yes,
but just people in general who are interested in Beckett and in learning a little bit more about Samuel Beckett.
It's a really interesting event like that, as you say, because it really does seem like the programme of events, I mean, it's free to access, it's online, so anyone can take a look in and book in. But it really does seem to be accessible to the widest kind of, who would you say that as far as people were interested in writing or in literary and maybe they hadn't attended an event like that before?
You know, if you're interested, then we're interested in having you. We started the Beckett Brunch in Paris in 2010, and it was this idea that really Beckett is for everyone, but it's about how you access Beckett and how Beckett is made accessible to you. So it might be that you'd like to learn a little bit more about Beckett. It might be that you're wanting something interesting to do while you have your coffee and your croissant on a Saturday morning. It might be that you're already, you know, perhaps working on Beckett, or you're a student of Beckett. So it really is kind of, or you're interested in Irish literature, as you say, in general. It's you know, the whole idea really is Beckett for all. And, you know, the theme this year, obviously, the brunch was meant to take place last year in 2020. And we thought then the theme of, you know, cross-border Beckett would bring together Ireland and France, you know, Beckett's bilingual work. And then it's obviously gained new resonance given everything that's happened. And so now cross-border Beckett par-delà les frontières, is really more this idea that even though we're physically separated, we can still all come together across boundaries that are perhaps physical and, you know, as a result of the pandemic, that we can still all come together. You know, you can go on the, if you register, you can go on the Beckett Online recipe book. We can bake together. We can still build something quite interesting together.
And I think that is interesting that you say that kind of international appeal as well. Obviously, the links between France and Ireland in Beckett's life, like that people in both places and across beyond as well can actually come in and take part in it, you know, that it isn't fixed, I suppose, to one location like that. You know, what's it kind of been like putting together that programme, that international kind of programme of events for the day?
Well, do you know, we're so delighted that we have, as you say, because we have this freedom, you know, maybe it's not the freedom we expected. We do have this freedom of getting people from all over the world. So we really wanted to have, you know, a mix of academics. So we've got, for example, Megan Mazier and Céline Taubois, who are two of the organisers, but also who are working on French PhD students. And then we've got people like Clara Simpson, who's a Beckett actress, who's living in France, but obviously Irish herself. We've got Hélène Lecossois. You know, we're... I think in some ways we were almost amazed at the goodwill coming from people across all sectors, you know, performers and academics and you know, indeed our partners like the Centre Culturel Irlandais, the, you know, Trinity College Dublin, the Embassy of France in Ireland, the Alliance Française, all these people willing to give their time, and really the sense of international cooperation has been quite incredible.
And that link between Ireland and France is quite a unique event in that sense. Like, for people maybe who aren't too familiar with Beckett, what are the writer's links with France there, or where does that connection come in?
Right, so Beckett would obviously have grown up in Ireland, and then, you know, goes across as a lecturer at the École Normale Supérieure in Paris, comes back to Ireland for a bit, then, you know, goes back again to France, particularly volunteers with the Irish Red Cross, and is a quartermaster in the bombed, ruined village of Saint-Lô after World War II. And after that, he really, you know, settles in France, begins writing more of his texts in France. And there's always that movement in French, you say the va-et-vient, this kind of movement backwards and forwards between France and Ireland, between French and English, and we really wanted to kind of explore those ideas in our talk and perhaps give something of that sense of movement between languages and movement between Ireland and France, which is so fundamental to Beckett's work and life.
Absolutely, yeah. And like, I think, you know, we've obviously been quite, as a country, you know, famed for the writers that we've produced over time. But what is it that's kind of Beckett's legacy, or what would you see as being unique about him, I suppose?
Well, do you know, one of the things that I've really loved, so I teach at the Université Sorbonne Paris Nord, and my students are mechanical engineering students. And we always start off when we work on, you know, when we work on Beckett, there's always this sense of, madame, why are we doing this? Should we not be studying drive shafts? But actually, looking at Beckett, and Beckett particularly, the simplicity, the you know, people think of Beckett, as I said, as being somewhat inaccessible. But actually, when you look at the language, when you look at the emotion behind the language, you know, my students were discussing a lot about this idea of waiting for Godot and what it means to be waiting and waiting for something and what it means to be young in a pandemic and waiting to be allowed to go somewhere. In this sense, you know, does waiting have a different dimension in this time? So I think, you know, and they've put together incredible things. Like, so the Beckett Bunch Digital Art Gallery, they've created posters for it, these mechanical engineering students, where they've, you know, thought about the tree in Waiting for Godot, and they've put surveillance cameras on the tree in their posters, because their thinking is, you know, that the tree is waiting too. And so I think what's unique about Beckett is this accessibility, this limpidity, this idea that everyone can go into Beckett and find something for them. Do you know, it's something I think that's quite unique in terms of Irish writers.
Absolutely. It sounds like a really intriguing event. You know, if people maybe haven't done something like that before, this might be the perfect opportunity to spend a little bit of time next Saturday just exploring and learning something new maybe as well. What is the way in which people can take part? Do they need to get tickets, or where should they go for that?
Yes, so this is a free online event, but registration is essential. So you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Beckett Brunch. If you're familiar with our partners TCD or the Trinity Long Room Hub or the Alliance Française, you can find information on their website. And, you know, perhaps most importantly, if you Google Eventbrite Beckett Brunch 2021, it'll take you straight to the registration page and you can just sign up there.
Sure. Well, that's the place to go today, I guess, then, and find out a little bit more. It might be something for you. Thanks a million, Dula, for coming on and just giving us a little insight into that. I hope it goes really well.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye now.
Thanks, Sarah, and thanks to Dr. Dunla Bird as well. Sarah, you come back after the break and we'll have a chat about the events.
Looking forward to it, Declan.
Yeah,
thanks.
Chat to you then. So that's coming up after 1 o'clock. And also, Ken will be along and he'll be back to have a chat about the new Music Dublin Festival. He'll be chatting to the festival director of that festival, John Harris. That's about 1:15. And jobs and opportunities to squeeze in before 1:30 as well. So all of that to come on Week in Review.
90.3.
This is Near FM. Near FM.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
And welcome back to the programme. I'm Declan Ralph. I'm here with Sarah Birmingham and Ken Kilbride. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme, you can contact me while the show is on air. The text line is 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can email weekinreview at near.ie, or you'll get me on Twitter at nearfm, at Declan Ralph, hashtag weekinreview. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. Hi, Sarah. Welcome back to the programme.
Hi, Declan. Good to be here. Thanks.
Great. So we're going to look at the virtual events happening over the next little while, Sarah. And the first one
And Ken was talking about cathedrals earlier on, so you're not to be outdone. You are suggesting that maybe we indulge in the sounds of Ardu and the choristers of St. Mary's Pro Cathedral.
Yeah, indeed. One of the many great kind of cultural and artistic events happening online virtually in the next little while. I know we've had Ardu, one of their members, on the show before. And yeah, they're really kind of bringing a very unique online concert collaboration this time around. It's going to kind of feature a score that kind of reflects the new world that we're in today, I suppose, a little bit. So intriguing to see what they do with that. But Ardu, of course, are an award-winning vocal ensemble. They've teamed up with members of the choir of St. Mary's Pro Cathedral and recorded this concert live at St. Anne's Church. It's going to be presented by broadcaster and songwriter Carl Corcoran. It's also going to feature some music from him as well, I believe. And it's also going to feature some reflective readings delivered throughout the piece. Ardu will be joined for the concert by members of the choirs at St. Mary's Pro Cathedral, including members of the Palestrina Choir and the Pro Cathedral Girls Choir as well, not to be outdone. Together, they're going to perform music by Irish composers, including Colm Mawby and Damien Keogh, as well as culminating the concert with the world premiere of the Phoenix piece, which is by Carl Corcoran and Art McGann with him on that too. The concert is going to be broadcast at 8 p.m. tomorrow night. That's Sunday, the 18th of April. Tickets for that are priced at €10.50 and they're available from rdumusic.com/musictown. So it's linked with the Music Town Festival and you can find all the details on the rdumusic.com site.
Brilliant, yeah. And it sounds really, really good. Next item is really interesting and sounds like something that could be great fun. So it's called Laugh Your Way to Lower Emissions with the Climate Comedy Night.
That's what they're promising. And again, the Viral Comedy Club are kind of taking the lead on this one, along with the Access Theatre, of course, in Ballymun. This is this coming Thursday night, the 22nd of April. And they are going to present a delightful selection of funny folk for a climate comedy night. It's all about celebrating Earth Day, which takes place on Thursday. The evening is part of the Access Green Chat series, and it'll feature Pauline Shanahan, she of the Vodafone Comedy Festival route, Ian Lynham from the Dublin Fringe Festival, Chris Kent of the Young Offenders, who I actually happened to see play a very intimate, small, socially distant gig in Wexford recently, and can confess that he's certainly keeping tickling the funny bones even at the moment. So lots of good names there, kind of new names on the scene, I think, well worth checking out, all linked with the Axis, of course, here too. They're promising an intimate evening of comedy and crack celebrating the planet. So a global kind of a celebration, I guess, accessible online anyway to anybody anywhere across the earth, kicking off at 8:15 p.m. on Thursday and supporting a greener and more sustainable future. The Host Viral Comedy Club is an organisation that sets up viral, or virtual, I should say.
Maybe viral as well, yeah.
Stand-up gigs from acts really across Dublin and venues across Dublin, beaming them straight into your living room at the moment. So worth checking out as well. And you can get tickets for that one, or if you want to find out a bit more, you can go to accessballymun.ticketsoft.com or just go through any of the Access Ballymun channels and you should be able to find it there.
Great stuff. And the Axis, of course, doing some fantastic work and putting on some fantastic productions during the whole lockdown time. Now, another theatre that you want to tell us about is The Gate. And you're suggesting maybe we join The Gate at home for visiting hour.
Yeah, this is a new play. It's one that was written by Frank McGuinness, I believe, and it tells the story of an Irish father and daughter. It's been performed and recorded in the Gate Theatre in a new location that they have there, and it's going to be streamed to audiences at 7:30 this coming Thursday, Friday and Saturday evenings. It features the talents of Stephen Ray and Judith Roddy in the leading roles in The Visiting Hour. It's the name of the play. It's set indeed at Visiting Hour in a nursing home during the pandemic and shows the father and daughter as they kind of meet in the unusual way of across the windowsill, I guess, and a window visit has come into our kind of language recently. And they sing and they argue and they chat over kind of dangerous and kind of unbroached topics, and they recall events that you know, may or may not have happened, I suppose, as is the case sometimes when you kind of look back and at the past with maybe rose-tinted glasses. But yeah, it's an interesting piece. It's bought by The Gate at Home, produced by them. They are an initiative which are streaming bespoke productions straight from The Gate's creative studio that they've created. And it recreates a unique performance which can be viewed and enjoyed, and you get the full experience of it really from home. Tickets for that are priced at €25 for a standard ticket, so a little bit more expensive. They do have €15 concession tickets available as well. And the best thing to do, if that's of interest to you, is to go to gatetheatre.ie, and if you click on the What's On tab there. And they have a captioned version of the production as well. Just in terms of accessibility, it's good to see that. So that's on Friday evening, if that's of interest to people.
Great. Yeah. Now, the next article or the next event would equally be at home on the Nearby Business programme that I do with Dave Daly. But we have it here today as well. Help Reboot Ireland with the Business Show Virtual Summit. So I suppose this is getting ready for when things are getting back to normal.
Yeah, for sure. And I think certainly of interest to people in the business world, and maybe a little bit kind of wider than that as well, as we look at what way things might come back. And I know the Reboot Republic kind of tagline has been out there a little bit, and certainly comes into its own at the moment when we look at kind of what way things might be, I guess. Hopefully kind of, you know, maybe from the summer onwards or from the next couple of weeks onwards, as things do start to kind of ease up a little bit and we get back into some new sort of normality, I suppose. So this is looking at how Ireland can best be rebooted following COVID-19. It's the Business Show Virtual Summit, and it's going to centre on the themes of leadership and agility and digital transformation. And it'll help those kind of in attendance from across different sectors to think about their own strategies, their own ways of doing things, and how they kind of innovate as well to find solutions. So it's really going to be solution focused. It's going to feature keynote addresses from speakers, panel discussions, networking, and opportunities kind of to share and to learn from each other online, I suppose, in a digital sense. And participants will bring their own experiences too, of course, of resilience and survival, which is you know, gonna be a theme there, I'm sure, as well. And they'll be able to kind of exchange ideas and strategies and look at the recovery and the growth of Ireland's enterprise and SME sectors. So certainly something that might be of interest to your own show there, but taking place on Thursday morning, and you can get free tickets for that. The day runs from 10 o'clock until 6 o'clock. So if you go to thebusinessshowireland.vfairs.com, you can get free tickets for an intriguing day, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Sounds very interesting. Yeah, and hopefully things will get back to some degree of normality really, really soon. Now, not to be outdone by Ken, we're turning in the Week in Review into a healthy Week in Review this week. Your final event is also about healthy eating and healthy food, and how to make healthy food easy with a free, and we like the word free, fun 6-week course starting soon.
That's it. Yeah, starting on Tuesday, we're all very much focused, I guess, on the theme of healthy eating. And I noticed Ken mentioned about the Wexford strawberries a little bit earlier on. I believe I've seen my first punnet of them arrive into Super Value in Wexford in the last week or so, I'd say. So I don't know, there might be an experimental early batch, but they're on the way. They're definitely on the way. So on that kind of theme of healthy eating and what we should be fueling our bodies with, I suppose, a free fun 6-week course is beginning on Tuesday. And it's been delivered by the Northside Partnership and the HSE with the support of a community dietitian. It promises to make healthy food easy and fun. And it is, of course, free, that word that we like. The content of the programme will guide participants on cooking and tasting healthy recipes. It'll share nutritional information and tips as well on how we can kind of really cleverly go about our shopping so that we do get the best value, tasty and healthy food, I suppose, which is the all important thing. The programme is open to all ages and abilities as well, so you don't have to be a culinary expert or anything like that. And there will be a certificate presented to all who complete the course, which is nice. The places on that are a little bit limited, and it is taking place on Tuesday, so I would highly recommend the best thing to do might be to send an email to karen.o'neill@nspartnership.ie, or Karen is on 01832 0995. So certainly worth putting your name in there if that's of interest to you.
Definitely, yeah. And we'll all be very healthy by the time we come back next week with all that healthy food made easy and our five a day and all of that. Sarah, thanks a million for doing the events again this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for that.
Coming up next, after the short piece of music, a festival director. The festival is New Music Dublin Festival, and the festival director is John Harris, and he's going to be talking to Ken just after this piece of music from a lady who was on the Late Late Show last night, looking and sounding very good. It's Imelda May.
From Baldoyle to Beaumont,
community radio for Northeast Dublin, 90.3.
Near FM. Near FM on 90.3. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, and I'm with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, and welcome back to the Week in Review. Don't forget, if you have a story you would like us to feature on the programme, you can contact us on text, that's text 087-6944-500, or email weekinreview@near.ie. So, here's a question for you. So how do we make music together when we can't come together to make music? And especially, how do you make new music in the middle of a pandemic? New Music Dublin, Ireland's foremost contemporary music festival, has the answer. And to tell me all about it, I'm now joined by their festival director, John Harris. So good afternoon, John. How are you? And welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm fine, actually. So, those are very familiar words you just quoted, actually, because if I remember correctly, I remember asking that question in the on the website of New Music Dublin this year.
So, I mean, just for myself, foremost contemporary music festival. So you might as well explain to me foremost and contemporary music.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, contemporary music is kind of as the word says. So it means music of now. And we have a quite broad, I suppose, a very, very kind of broad attitude towards our programming. So contemporary doesn't just mean what most people might associate it with it, which is very kind of esoteric art music. It's much more the idea of anything that people are creating now, really.
Yeah.
This is at the edge of something. So, for instance, it's exploring the kind of the edges of music, not necessarily very experimentally, but it's really literally the music that people are making now. And a lot of that at the moment is in response to the pandemic. I've been doing a whole series of composer interviews right now that at the start of every single concert that we're putting online. And it's quite unusual to find a piece that isn't influenced by what's been happening to everybody for the past year or so. So it's all very, very relevant. And foremost, I guess it's probably because we're the largest contemporary music festival in Ireland. So we are partners with the National Concert Hall and with RTE and with the Contemporary Music Centre in Dublin as well. And actually, so probably because we're the largest accumulation of contemporary music that's taking place in Ireland at the moment over one weekend. So I hope that explains.
Indeed, because I mean, I would see myself as a rock child, if I can call it that, you know, and that would be my most music consumption. But I do listen to a little bit of classical music, and I even have a little playlist of, you know, what I would call contemporary modern. You know, by people like Max Richter, Henry Goreski, Michael Nyman, Philip Glass, Carl Jenkins. But that's actually old stuff compared to what you're actually planning for the coming festival.
Well, everything is pretty much brand new. I mean, I would go so far to say that some of it is possibly still being written.
Okay. As we go on.
Max Richter and co are still modern. He's still writing. And actually, all the people you mentioned, apart from I think Henrik Goreski, are actually still writing. They belong to a kind of very sort of minimalist kind of strand, I would suggest, of things where basically this idea of repeating something became very kind of prevalent in the 1960s, 1970s from America, and then kind of came over to an awful lot of other forms of music as well. But if you listen to, say, for instance, Natasha Polberg's piece for the RTE Concert Orchestra on Saturday night, which is interesting because that was all recorded individually by all the orchestra members in their homes and then mixed. And we actually have a live animator. Well, he's doing the animation live, but it's pre-recorded. So there's some visuals that go alongside it. That piece actually belongs to that whole strand of contemporary music, the kind of Henrik Goreski, Max Richter. She's a film composer, actually, by trade, but not by training. So there are things within the programme that belong to all of that. Maybe the other end of the spectrum, we have the Sunday morning programme, which is by a group called Kirkos. Sebastian Adams is a composer who's been curating that.
Yeah.
And that's a set of works, pieces, basically for people to do in their own homes by themselves. So on the website, you'll find, say, instructions to do a certain thing, which is just you performing a piece, or to listen to this piece whilst you're doing some particular mundane task in your house. So it's got everything that goes from orchestral work all the way through to these, I suggest, in some ways quite experimental but entertaining pieces that are just for one person to do by themselves in the privacy of their own home. So yeah, it covers the whole gamut, I would say.
And we were just saying that, and just in terms of that, you did run an event
today.
It was aimed at children. It's called the Totally Made Up Distant Orchestra Workshop, and that went out on the 17th, which was just a little bit before the show today at 11 o'clock.
Yes, absolutely. The Totally Made Up Orchestra is a fixture within New Music Dublin. My very first one back in 2018, in fact, it was programmed in the one that got snowed off. I don't know if you remember the Beast from the East in 2018, which carried the first festival away. We redid it in the Defrosted Festival, which took place in September straight after that. It is literally that. It's totally made up. The criteria for membership of the orchestra are you can be any age, you can have any music ability, and you can play any instrument. And it really is a group of people who come together with Brian Irvine to create a show on the day. You come with no material either. That's also all found on the day and made on the day. So he makes a show in 2 hours. Normally it's done live. This time around, Brian's thinking very, very hard about what could happen over Zoom. And I suspect that what he's doing, certainly talking to him yesterday about it, is that what he's going to do is play with the whole Zoom thing. We're absolutely, it's the ubiquitous Zoom, really. And what happens when you try to create music over Zoom is very, very hard. So he is making things that are as visual as they are audible, I suspect. But the thing is, I don't know. It will go out on the Sunday. And it is literally people who have come together for 2 hours with all manner of it to make some new piece. It's a kind of thing of wonder. It really is, I suppose, kind of a demonstration that anybody can be part of this. It's not a kind of, you know, highfalutin elitist pursuit. This is kind of music for everybody. The thing is that we present so much stuff that actually there will be something within all of this that you that you will find interesting or attractive. I can almost guarantee it. As an old rocker, actually, well, I wouldn't say an old rocker, as a rocker or previous rocker, Barry O'Halpin's piece on the Saturday night for Crash, he came to contemporary, he's an electric guitarist, and he's written a piece for electric guitar and ensemble, and he came to contemporary music through rock. I mean, he actually was a rock musician before he began writing pieces. So, you know, it's like people come at it from whichever direction they want to, really.
Indeed, and I say that, you know, as you say, I mean, I, you know, a little bit more, my classical repertoire is not extensive by any sense of the imagination. And, you know, I'm probably one of those people, you know, if you're going to play classical music, you start off with Beethoven or go to Mozart. But this is taking it, and I thought the bit that you said at the very start was, this is new music and this is on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And obviously just you're saying people are using the, you know, the current environment to create music. And actually just we were talking to Leagues O'Toole last week. And obviously just we see that the Crash Ensemble sort of is a little bit between yourselves and them for in terms of Music Town. So what are they getting up to?
Crash, they are doing well. So this, as you can imagine, putting together a festival in the middle of the pandemic has been kind of intermittently hilarious and also horrendous. And I've lost count of the number of times I've reprogrammed this festival over and over again. Crash are amazing partners in this festival because they will kind of go with us wherever to go. So one of the things is I'm very keen that nothing is longer than like 45 minutes to an hour long in terms of gig, because I can't stand sitting in front of my computer for that long watching stuff. It drives me absolutely potty, and having so many things compressed into one weekend, you know, I don't want people to have to sit there for kind of 5 hours and turn all absolutely kind of goggle-eyed and wondering where they are. So Crash has split their concert up into four. And that's made of various bits. One of them is, one of the strands is they do this thing with us called Free State, which is a series for emerging composers. And we have, I think, five emerging composers who have been working with Crash, their mentor composer, to create new works for the ensemble. They'll be performed. There's also a series of films which are being premiered, which are little response films by commission from other composers, just in response to the pandemic, something that Crash was doing with their solo works, really small works, really for Crash performers to play. And then we have Barry O'Halpin, who's the guitarist, who's actually guitarist with Crash, but he's also composed a resonance with Crash. He's created a piece called Wingform, which is an entire night's worth of stuff. And then the actual final concert of the festival is Crash's own thing, which is they've given it the title Granulated Frequencies, which I'm still trying to work out what that actually means. But it's two pieces, one by Becca Sims called Metamold. Now, she's a Canadian composer, but she's just a massive prize winner, and part of the prize he's born by Crash. And then we actually finish off with a work by L, the DJ L, otherwise known as Ellen King, who's created an ensemble work for Crash as well. But that's very heavily influenced by her own kind of electronic and dance clubbing background. I mean, she's based in Berlin these days. So it's even within the Crash program, it's extremely varied. So, yeah, you know, they're producing their usual kind of almost kind of mini festival of their own within a festival, really.
Well, thanks very much for telling us about that. And I hope you've whetted a lot of people's appetite for that. But just obviously just in terms of it, you know, and we use this word a lot on this program, and a lot of the stuff is actually free.
Not only a lot of stuff, it's all free.
It's all free. Yeah,
it's partly because we are incredibly lucky to be partnering with RTE. So we work with their orchestras and also their radio stations and online. And they, but this means, of course, they don't charge for output. So everything is carried, or you know, a lot of it's carried by them. So yeah, we don't charge. So it's all free to view or listen. And it's all available on the website www.newmusicdublin.ie. If you just go, so the website is the concert hall, basically. Yeah. So if you just go into the event, there should be, at the appropriate time, assuming everything works technically, there should be the video of the work, or in, say, the case of the Sunday morning one in particular, where we have Sebastian Adams and Kirkos's collection of things. There are instructions on the website as to what to do. Some of the stuff is downloadable. Some of it you simply do there. Some of it you take away and do things with. And with almost everything, there's little interview videos at the very start as well between me and some of the composers featured, talking about, you know, what they do, why they do it, how they do it. So for people who feel a little bit like, yeah, I don't know if it's me or not, you get the chance to see who has actually written this stuff and why and what it feels like. And then also, I mean, what's brilliant, I think, about online is, I mean, I'm always a great fan of, if people don't like it, they don't have to listen to it. You know, there's no, yes. It's not, you know, you must do this for your life improvement kind of a thing. If you don't like it, you can listen to it for 5 minutes and then just come back to the next thing. It's not like having to walk out of a concert, you know what I mean? No one's going to see you if you just going to go make a cup of tea halfway through. So, and we can chat, if you're watching on YouTube, you can join in the chat alongside it on YouTube and ask questions about the thing as it's happening, which is another thing I'll do in, like, you know,
in the concert hall, yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. I'm looking interested. I'll click in myself. Just before we wrap up, just very quickly, could you just remind me of the website address to get all the information on the
website address? It's newmusicdublin, all one word, .ie. It's all there. And then you can, it's got all the events by date, or it's got it all by, there's a kind of, you can either get it from the menu bar at the top, or you can kind of flick through and see everything. So just take a look through and see what you fancy. You need to set your alarm on YouTube to remind you that you're actually supposed to be watching something right now. So, yeah.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Really appreciate it.
So before we finish, I want to let you know about some of the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. This week, in fact, there are 17 requests for volunteers and 242 job offers. Now, the volunteering opportunity is from the Accompaniment Support Services for Children, ASSC. They're recruiting volunteer administrator workers to be part of their administrative team. The role will involve diverse administrative work with their volunteer recruitment campaigns. And full training will be provided to successful applicants, and you may work from home. You need to be 21 years or over and be fluent in English. And if you're interested in that, you can contact Grace Jordan with any queries you might have. You get Grace on 085 800 1866 or by email grace@assc.ie. The job opportunity today, Crosscare Finglas Youth Services are looking to recruit a youth worker for their LEAPP projects in Finglas. You'll be responsible to the youth service manager. There's 20 hours of work per week involved, including evenings and Saturdays, and the salary is around €30,000 per annum. To apply for that, you need to send a comprehensive CV and cover letter to recruitment@crosscare.ie and make sure you put Youth Worker Finglas LEAPP in the subject bar when you're applying for that. And applications close on Friday, the 23rd of April at 5 p.m. Well, that's it for this week for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to Ken and to Sarah for all their input during the week and for their contributions today as well. Don't forget, if you have an item you'd like me to feature, you can contact me at any time via email, weekinreview@neer.ie. You can also get me on Twitter @neerfm, @declanralph, # Week in Review. We'll all be back at the same time next week. So for now, for me, Declan Ralph, well, I'll see you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.